Okay, I guess it's about time. It's exactly 3:30 and we should be starting. It's a little hot here. Well, we'll make the most out of it. I would not keep you for too long. Welcome to this workshop. My name is Sam Pippen. I'm directing Secular Campus Ministry and God has been very good to us. What I'm coming to share with you was not what, let me make sure we have enough. Okay, all right. Okay.
Are these open?
Let me make sure. Should we open this? Oh, it's emergency exit. So it's emergency exit, you can't open it.
Too bad.
Yeah, it's hot. This one is open. It's open. Okay. Please. Okay. If you can survive the heat, we'll be fine. Well, I would like to welcome you to this workshop. This is not something I planned to present. I have something else in mind, but during the past couple of months, I did a book titled This is Love, and the conference leaders read it. They were excited about it and they insisted that I do this presentation, and so I'll give you a few excerpts from here, but more than excerpts, I'll be filling in the blanks as well. I think before we start, let me just make sure. Okay, all right.
Can I close the door?
No, I think probation is closed. Okay. Okay. All right, before we get started, perhaps let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for camp meeting, for the privilege of studying, opportunity to meet new friends and old. We are thankful for the challenges you placed before us during the previous presentations and worship services. And now we invite you to be our teacher as we begin this study on love. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go any further, I'm just curious. Why did you decide to attend this workshop? The workshop is themed The Excellence of Love, and every day we'll be dealing with one aspect or the other. I think there's another seat here. This seems to be a free one. I'm just curious, why did you attend, or why have you chosen to be in this workshop? Yes, I see a hand. Speak loudly and clearly. I'll be repeating your question because we are recording it.
Because you were happy.
Okay. Okay, all right. Simply, you are drawn to it because of the presenter. Okay, did I see a hand here? Yes, sir.
I'm familiar with all the soft versions of love and the liberal versions of love, and since I didn't know a little bit about the presenter, I knew that I was going
to... Okay. He's familiar with all the soft versions of love, and so he expects something from the presenter. Okay. Love is the reason we are here. Love is it. Okay, all right. Why are you here, sir? Faith, hope, and love are interconnected. All right?
I want to have a heart like Jesus.
You want to have a heart like Jesus. Okay? All right? Why did you choose this workshop? Or better yet, what are you expecting from this workshop? Yes. What is love? How to love. Okay. How to love. Okay? Yes. You want to be able to give an accurate picture of love to the world. Okay? Any other reason?
Curiosity.
You're just in the class for curiosity. Okay? Love. What is love is the subject matter for our study this hour. But let me explain the theme we've chosen. The theme is the excellence of love. I got a title from two sources. One, every year at the University of Michigan and for Michigan Conference, Secular Campus Ministry, we choose a theme for the entire year. This coming school year, our theme is going to be on excellence. Excellence is going to be our theme. In the course of preparing for this theme for this year, we announced it last year that this coming school year, our theme will be excellence. So as we plan a year ahead thinking, what messages should I present to students on excellence? Our philosophy at Public Campus Ministry is excellence, academic excellence combined with spiritual excellence. And then we were drawn to a Bible passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. After it mentioned all the gifts of the Spirit, in the very last verse, verse 31, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31, the Apostle Paul writes, "But covet earnestly the best gifts." So we are talking about the best of all the gifts. "And yet show I unto you a more excellent way." More excellent. To excel, or when we say excellence, it's something incomparable. And yet in this passage the apostle says, "I am going to show you something better than the best." He said, "Covet the best gifts." And then he goes on to say, "I will show you a more excellent way." Excellence. And then what is this more excellent way? Chapter 13 presents it as love. Love is the more excellent way. And the way it concludes chapter 13, verse 13, "Now abides faith, hope, and charity." The word charity here is basically the word love. You know, today when you hear about the word charity, it means like giving donations. That's not what the Bible is talking about. It's talking about love. "Now abide faith, hope, and love," or charity, "these three, but the greatest of these is love." There's a seat for you. Someone just created a room for you. Thank you. "The greatest of these is love." So I want you to start pulling together the superlatives. It is the best gift. It is the more excellent way. It is the greatest of the three that Jesus says, you know, abide, faith, hope, and love. And then Paul is not the only person who says or who talks in those terms about love. Peter says something similar. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, you find something similarly recorded. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, and I read, "And above all things, have fervent charity amongst yourselves. For charity," that's the word for love, "shall cover the multitude of sins." Notice, above all things, have love. Because once you have love, it covers everything. Above all things. We are talking about the excellence of love. And then let me read one more, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, when you start reading from verse 12. Colossians 3 and verse 12, it says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Notice the gift he's mentioning, the virtues we are to possess. He begins with mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering or patience, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against another, even as Christ forgives, so this person must do. Now look at verse 14. "And above all these things, put on charity," or love. What is above kindness, humility, meekness, endurance. What is above this? Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection or perfectness. And let the peace of God reign in your house. The excellence of love. That is where the title comes from a constellation of all these Bible passages, which seems to say, preaching is good. It's one of the spiritual gifts, but it's not good enough. Prophesying is good, but it's not good enough. Everything we think is good, there is something better, which we must strive to get. The best of all the gifts. The greatest of all the three big virtues. Above every other thing. And so we are going to talk about love in this workshop. Today, our message is going to be entitled, What is Love? What is love? I'll give you an opportunity to tell me what you know about love. I'll begin by asking some questions. Have you ever loved somebody? It can be your mom, your dad, your child, your husband, your fiancé, whatever. Have you ever loved? I know the answer is yes. Have you ever been loved? I assume the answer is yes. And I'm not talking about husband and wife. Any person who's ever loved you, it can be an uncle loving you, an aunt who has ever loved you. Have you ever loved? Have you ever been loved? Or do you wish someone loved you? If so, how can you tell if somebody loves you? How would you know if you love somebody? Let me allow you to split in groups of two or three and just discuss this amongst yourselves. How do you know that somebody loves you? How do you know you are loved? If someone loves you, how do you tell? Take a moment to answer this question. I simply want, you know, things that tell that somebody loves you. Take a moment or two to answer these questions, and then afterwards, I'll see the kinds of responses that you'll get. What indicators there are that suggest that somebody loves you or someone really loves you. Think through your life, the person who ever loved you. Find a partner, talk about it. Just list down the things that indicate somebody loves you, you love somebody. Okay, I guess I'll let you pause. Let's see. Can I get some volunteers? Have you ever loved? Have you ever been loved? If so, how do you know the person loves you? How do you know? Yes, please. When someone loves you, they pay attention to you, okay? Yes, sir.
Even at my worst.
Even at your worst, they do what?
No. Unconditional love.
There is no, you've used the word. I don't want the word. Even at your worst, they do what? They accept you even at your worst. Okay? All right? Did I?
Someone that holds me accountable.
Someone that holds you accountable and is honest with you. Okay? Anything else on your notes?
And pushes me to be my best.
He pushes you or she pushes you to be your best. Okay? That's love. Yes? Mm-hmm. Someone who spends time with you and listens to you, loves you. Okay? Yes.
They just tell you.
Sorry?
They just tell you.
They just tell you. okay, I see. When they love you, they tell you. Okay, all right. Okay. They make sacrifices for you. My mom loves me because she sacrificed everything to put me to school. Okay? They satisfy your needs consistently.
Trust, friendship.
Trust and friendship, whatever that means, okay? All right?
They lay down their priorities
and you become their priority. Okay? Yes. You know someone loves you by the extent to which they would go for you. And then there's a story that she illustrated with.
Yeah.
What is that story?
About 8 years ago, I was in a bad automobile accident, and I needed care, and my husband...
I want to repeat it so that it will be picked up by the mic. About 8 years ago, you were in an automobile accident, and you needed care. And what did your husband do? He did absolutely everything, from cooking, cleaning the house, even washing your hair.
And he asked me how I wanted it and how I was supposed to do it. And he said, I want to do exactly what you want me to do.
Wow.
And I said,
is he here? Are you the one?
No.
No, okay, I'm just kidding. Okay. So he cared. He cared so much about you. Even washing your hair and doing it for you.
Exactly
how you wanted it.
Everything.
Wow. Everything.
For 6 weeks.
For 6 weeks.
Never complaining.
And never complaining. That one is good. Okay. Wow. That's love. Okay?
Yeah, I knew that then. I mean, I believed it.
Okay. Any others? Yes, sir.
When someone puts themselves at risk for your benefit.
When someone puts themselves at risk for your benefit. That's love. Anything else that is missing? By their actions, more than their words, you know they love you. Okay? Yes, please. The person is willing to lay down their life for you. Did I see a hand? Yes, please. Even though it's painful, they will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. That is love. Okay? Were you?
Hugs.
If you love someone, you give them hugs.
I've known a grandma in our church, and all the young people, I don't care if they're 20 or 30, I give them hugs.
Wow. So when you love someone, you give them a hug. Yes, please.
There's times when you need help, and if that never even crosses your mind that the person who loves you would help.
There's never a doubt in your mind when you need help, they are there.
Some of them are really big, like this lady's talking about. And some of these things are little things.
Yeah.
And some are medium-sized things.
Okay.
Medium-sized.
Okay. So whether big or small, when you need the help, they are there. Wow. So they will go any length to be there for you. I have this question because love means so many things to different people. There are about 2,000 different interpretations of love. When perhaps in the course of the week I would mention to you what others are saying about love. What I did is in this book, This is Love. And quite frankly, I would highly recommend this book. It is a fascinating book. Almost everyone who has read it is so thrilled about it. I think I've pulled together about 16 books to date. This book seems to be loved by almost everyone. Perhaps it's because it's on love. But there is another reason. I have tried to sample what people have said about love before going into. Let me give you some few quotes. I have a whole section, actually, three full chapters dealing with quotes on love, what people say about love. Some of the quotations are very cynical. I mean, it's like I have a whole section, cynical love versus innocent love. Cynical love is people who have been loved before or loved before and somehow it didn't work out and so they hate love. And so someone says, love is like a beautiful, endless dream until you wake up. You know, it's true, right? Yes. Beaten by love. Another person says, love is not fair. Once you find it, you become a slave. Love is like prison. Once you get in, it's hard to get out. You stress, you cry, you do things you never thought you would. Someone says, love is like war. It is easy to begin, but hard to get out. Love is grand. Divorce is 1,000 grand. I mean, there are all kinds of... Love is a form of insanity that makes a girl marry her boss and work for him for the rest of her life without salary. Love is a minefield. You take a step and get blown to pieces. You put yourself back together again and stupidly take another step. I guess that's human nature. It hurts so much to be alone that we'll rather all be blown up than being single. Another says, to be in love is merely to be in a state of perceptual anesthesia. I have several of the cynical love codes, and then I have a section on innocent love codes. I juxtapose the two. You see how cynical people are who have suffered broken heart and they hate love. And then a lady did a research between amongst 4 to 8 year olds. She asked them a question, what does love mean to you? This lady lives in Iran. I contacted her on the email because she pulled this together. Fascinating thing. And these young kids, each one told what love meant to them. Let me read a couple of them to you. Oh, let's see. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on a shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. This is Carl. He is 5 years old. Billy is 4 years old. He says, when someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You know that your name is safe in their mouth. That is love. Actually, when you think about it, it's true.
Yeah.
Noelle, she's 7. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt, then he wears it every day. That's love. Elaine is 5. Love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. And Mary Ann, she is 4. Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him all day. That is love. And there are all kinds of, you know, some very humorous ones. Karen is 7. When you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down like little stars coming out of you. And there are many such things. See, we all used to be here, innocent. And some of them are very profound. But somehow, something went wrong. And now we are cynical about love. Even the mere mention of love, I'm sure you say, love, again, another thing. What else are we going to... And then I have another section, humorous love codes, and very serious love quotes. I simply compiled, I interviewed some of my students, I got it from books, philosophers, whoever has written, and I tried to pull it together, categorize them. Among the humorous love quotes is a section where I was eliciting from them, what is love? And here are some of the definitions of love. Love is the feeling you feel, which you've never felt before the feeling you now feel. That's somebody's definition of love. Here's another one. Maybe love is like luck. You have to go all the way to find it. Is that luck? You have no idea. You just try it. And then when you get there, you find out. A little boy aged 9, Floyd, he says, love is foolish, but I still might try it sometime. Another says, love is like quicksand. The deeper you fall in it, the harder it is to get out. Love is the irresistible desire to be irresistibly desired. This Mark Twain. Somebody says, love is like pickle. It is sweet, it is sour, and it has its bumps. Love is blind, and marriage is an eye-opener. Love is madness. If thwarted, it develops fast. And then another person says, love is like pi. You know the mathematical 22 over 7, pi. Love is like pi. It is natural, it is irrational, but it is very important. Someone says, love is entirely a matter of chemistry. That is why my wife treats me like toxic waste. Anyway, there are a number of quotes. Basically, what is love? There are all kinds of definitions. There are at least 2,000 definitions I have come to pull together, or at least have come to my attention. Everyone knows this thing about love is important. The Bible says it's important, but somehow we never seem to put a finger on it. I started this assignment not because I was interested in it. I was in Asia some time ago. I got to make some friends over there, and one of the friends sent me an email. Dr. Pepem, I've been given an assignment in church for Women's Day. I am to speak on love. Can you please pull together what the Bible says about love? And then in a characteristic Asian way, very polite, please, I don't want footnotes, keep it very simple. And then she added, as much as possible, if it's possible at all, put it in the form of poems. That is really putting the screw on me, because I never write simple things. I always footnote my points, and I don't think she was interested in that. I forgot all about it until a week to time, she sent me the desperate email again, and I didn't know what to do. So I simply went around. If I saw two people who were in love, I asked them, how do you know she loves you? And then they would tell me, and then I would start taking notes. Similar to the questions I'll ask you. If I see a father and a son, I would ask them the same questions. Then I would jot down, I would ask little kids, how do you know your mom loves you? My mom loves me because when I cut my finger, she's there to bind the wound. And then I would start listing all of this. And then as I started studying all of these different versions or expressions of love, I started noticing some things that are in common in all of these. I studied the Bible and discovered certain things that are jumping at me. I studied the spirit of prophecy. So I got a pretty good idea. But the assignment was, I must keep it simple. Preferably in a poem. And I've never written a poem in my life. And so I decided to pull it together. And I came away with some 60 poems on love. And that's how the book begins. The first chapter is a poem on love. It goes something like this. I'll just share with you highlights, not all of them. Where there is love, there is a special person who is beyond comparison, and it is the joy of every season. Love is not an abstraction. Love is a person, and you are going to discover in the course of this week's presentation, love is a person. And you are going to discover God is love. And wherever God's love abides in a person, you will see a manifestation of it. Where there is love, it accepts you as you are, transforms you into a star to be admired from afar. Love takes you the way you are, so radically changes you, and people look at you and say, what happened to her? I never... Love has a transforming impact. I got this next line from actually my son and his friend, asking them, you know, how do you know somebody loves you, your dad loves you, or someone else? Where there is love, it's always there when you are sad, makes you laugh when you are mad, and goes great lengths to make you glad. That is love. And then I say other things. Where there is love, its principles from God emanate, its virtues brightly radiate, its bliss no one can abate. Where there is love, there's an elegance of simplicity, an affluence of frugality, and a display of humility. I'm playing with contrast. If there is anything to show off, it's humility. If there's something to be affluently boastful of, it's frugality. And the elegance of love is always simplicity. I saw a family, a Japanese young lady and an American man. They were in love, interracial couple. And I asked them, Naomi, why do you love your husband? And she said something to the effect, though I'm a Japanese, I never feel at home in Japan, but with my husband, I feel at home. So I pull it together. Where there is love, it is home in its true place, even outside its own race, destined there by divine grace. Where there is love, it calms every fear, provides a listening ear, and wipes a sobbing tear. Where there is love, compassion is its fight, gentleness is its might, and forgiveness is its right. And then I say other things about love. So that was the first section. And then part two, the second chapter, here is love. I liken love to a woman who meets her man for the first time. They fall in love. They marry. And this, I'll let you read it later on. And then, how do you know it's love? And so I have another chapter. You know it's love. You know it's love because you are safe when it's near. You no longer look anywhere, for your heart's desire is now here. You know it's love when your value does not cease in times of failure and unease, or when health decrees. And then I talk about other things. You know it's love because it's there whenever you call, stays with you when ills befall, to help you triumph through it all. You know it's love when her faith inspires you with awe, when peace reigns in place of war, and when truth is always her law. You know it's love when you walk side by side, keeping each other in stride, with God's word your surest guide. And finally, you know it's love when she remains your best friend, till life days of toil shall end, or to heaven you both shall ascend. I read this to our students, got their feedback. And then the next question was, how do you know it's not love? What if it's infatuation? What if it's counterfeit? So I wrote another section, it's not love. By the way, it is also a marriage counseling. It opens up whole discussion. It's not love. It's not love when feelings dismiss common sense, when the voice of conscience is nonsense, and the moral law is an offense. So I get to talk to young people. When you think you are in love and you are not thinking straight, this person is not good for you. You know it. When feelings dismiss common sense, it's not love. And then I say other things. But this section really hits some of the students. It's not love when your kiss, it seduces to sip. You know, I'm looking at the analogy of sipping water. When your kiss, it seduces to sip, then bites and wounds your soul's lip, scarring your life with a guilt trip. It's not love. It's not love when it trifles with your soft heart and piece by piece tears it apart to be discarded in its laundry cart. It's not love. It's not love when lust is its prize to obtain, but having won, treats you with disdain, then dumps you into a grave of pain. It's not love. Basically, what I did was, I studied the spirit of prophecy and the Bible and found a way to pull this together so that it can speak to every person, whether you are a Christian or non-religious person, and working through it. Anyway, you can read the others. And then, after reading through, how can you really be sure that it's love? So I have another session titled, I'm Sure It's Love. I'm sure it's love, not because of its shining hair, nor the skin smooth and fair, but for its character so rare. I'm sure it's love, 'cause in the years that have gone, despite grinding trials it has borne, its luster of patience has brightly shone. And then I go through many chapters. But basically what I'm trying to do is to find a way to start a discussion on love, which is universally accepted. Like the research by this young lady, she lives in Iran, she's a computer specialist, asking little kids, what is love? When I shared it with other students, they all could identify with it. There is something about love that cuts across cultures. And so what I'm coming to do in this workshop is we are going to look at this universal desire and universal heartache. Today, what is love? It would interest you to know that the Bible devotes considerable amount of time to this subject. And in the Bible, there were different words used to describe love. I will basically give you an idea, and then we'll have some time to discuss it. And then I have a section titled Love Notes. It's a three-part series, which is a discussion on love. The word love is used today for many things. Sometimes love is a word we use to describe taste. I love ice cream. The word love is taste. Or I love Toyota cars. Love in this context is basically what your preference or fondness is. Sometimes love is a term used for endearment or affection. I love my son. I love my daughter. It is a term of affection. The word love is also used in religious context. I love Jesus. It can even be used to mean sex. They need love. The word love has been so used that today we are not often sure what love is. And that is why I said, Butler's list of quotations. It is a book that lists quotations by philosophers and great people throughout time. Under the category of love, there are about 2,000 different definitions. Where do you go for love? The Bible speaks a lot about this. So what I'll basically mention in the next few minutes is, look at three key words on love. It will set the foundation on what we are going to discuss in the coming days. In the New Testament, during New Testament times, there were three major words, actually it's about four or five, but three major ones emerged that were used for love. The first one is the word eros, E-R-O-S. It is the word from which we get erotic. And then the second word for love is the word philos. And then one last one, which we'll look at, agape, which every Christian should know. Let's look at the word eros, what it means. Eros, the word from which we get our word erotic, is a passionate desire for somebody for the sake of self. That is eros. This word is never used in the New Testament time. It's never used in the New Testament proper. Even though during the time of the New Testament, the word was floating around, but New Testament writers never used it. It was a word that was used to describe one of the Greek gods, the god of love in Greek words. In Christian circles, eros has taken a bad hit because it has often been used to mean immorality or sometimes pornography or sexual desire. But the word eros in its full context simply means an intense desire, a passion, an ardency. It is an association, it is always associated with something majestic, beautiful, or awesome, such that it stirs your emotion. For example, if you look at a beautiful sunset, something swells within you. That is the word eros. When you listen to a lovely, lofty music, or when you see a huge mountain and you are awed by its sheer majesty, that thing that swells within you is eros. Or let's say you are a football fan or a soccer fan and your team scores a goal or a touchdown, there is a certain rush of emotion. We call it eros. Eros is almost mystical. It is magical. One way to describe eros is, have you seen two people who are in love, newlyweds or newly whatever, they are in love, and you don't even know, but you watch them, and they look into each other's eye. You can almost tell something is going on. Have you noticed that before? That magic, that mystical thing you see in their eyes is eros. It's never used in the New Testament. The next word we are going to describe, which is used in the New Testament, is the word philos. This word basically means, it has to do with friendship, a certain, friendship love, as we call it. The kind of fondness, a deep caring closeness we have for one another. It can be for friends, parents, children, or the rest. A tender affection. Our word philosophy comes from it. Philos is in there, the love of wisdom. Philadelphia, it comes from philos and adelphos, brotherly love. Even philanthropy, anthropos means man. Philos is the philanthropy, love of man. It comes from this word. Now, here is the distinction and similarity. These two words, eros and philos, they have some things in common. They all share in what we call the law of cause and effect. Cause and effect. For example, if I love you, you would love me. If I'm fond of you, you'll be fond of me. If I do something that awes you, let's say you see some qualities in me, some majesty in me, there will be something drawn, you'll be drawn to me. If there is something that causes eros, if I tickle you, there will be a certain response. The same with philos. If you love a little child, it will love you back. They share in the law of cause and effect. The other thing that is common between these two words is animals also share in them. If you love your dog, it would love you. If you are mean to any dog, believe me, when it sees you, it will be mean to you. Animals also fall in love. You can actually look into the face of your dog or cat and you can see the magic. In other words, these two kinds of love are not strictly human activities. Animals also have it. And now that leads us to another point. And that point is, oh, by the way, these two kinds of love cannot be commanded. I cannot command you to be fond of me. No. If I compel you to love me, it becomes coercion or at the very best, rape. You cannot force a dog to love you. there must be something that causes the affection. Those are the two words for love. But there is a third word, which is of a completely different category. Yes, there is a certain fondness about this word. There is a certain majesty about it, just like Eros, but it is a completely different word. And this word was never found in ancient Greco-Roman world. It was coined by the Bible writers. It is agape, and it deals with selfless, sacrificial love. It is a selfless and sacrificial love. It comes from principle. Another way of calling it is principle love. Unlike the first two loves, this love, which is, by the way, the love that is used to describe the love of God, and which finds expression when human beings are Christ, they have this kind of love. It is principle love. It is not based on cause and effect. Animals don't have it. Unlike these two, this love can be commanded. And so the Bible says, love your enemies. It's a command. Because it is one resulting from choice, from exercising your will. It is a decision you make, which says, though you hate me, I have made up my mind, I'm going to love you. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Pray for them. Bless them. This can be commanded because it is not based on how you feel or what you get from them. This is what the Bible calls agape love, an act of the choice. It can be commanded, and this word is that which reveals the character of God. And in fact, the Bible describes this love as a person. God is love. And when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that famous chapter on love, and at some point we shall come to it, the description given there is actually a description of this love. For example, when you read from verse 4, King James Version calls it charity, but it's the word love. Charity suffers long. It is kind. It envies not. It vaunteth not itself, nor is puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly, that it is not rude. It seeks not her own. It is not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but in truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Charity or love never fails. And then on and on. It is the word agape. And so, this week, we are going to study about this fascinating subject. Love. What it is. We are going to take one Bible book and look at it, because today everyone is talking about love. Love has become everything. In the Adventist church, the best way to knock away sound Bible instruction and living right is simply to appeal to the word love. We are going to look at what the Bible teaches about love. It's going to be a fascinating adventure. And hopefully by the close of our series, we are going to make a call for us to get to know Him who is love. And that by loving Him, we can actually love our enemies. Your enemy may be in your house. It can be your husband or your wife. It can be your child or even your parents. Many of us hate them. But we are going to discover, by the grace of God, we can make up our mind, because you are going to discover love is a choice. It is a decision you make. But once you make that choice, it comes with it that idea of fondness, There will be that magic about it. That is why when you look at our Lord Jesus Christ, when you get to know Him, you cannot help but write and sing about Him. And we are going to look at some ancient hymns all about love. Jesus, the very thought of Thee with sweetness fills my heart. Jesus, the lover of my soul. Everyone who has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ almost invariably will find themselves writing poems, singing about Him. We are going to learn about love music, the ultimate love music. As a matter of fact, tomorrow we are going to start with love music. And as your homework, I'm going to ask you, read through the book Song of Songs. Just read through it once in a sitting. Some of you have never read through that song. Tomorrow we are going to look at it. A fascinating book. In 1 hour, that book would open up before you. You will read it. You will pulse it with joy. Finally, seeing that this book was actually left there for us to discover the majesty, the excellence, the beauty of love in a way you have never discovered before. Then at a later time, I think the next day after tomorrow, we are going to look at the anatomy of love. If love is a person, we are going to describe the anatomy of love. And you'll be fascinated. Whatever kind of love you are talking about, whether it is parental love, affection between husband and wife, a person you are courting or dating, whatever, you are going to see all of these dynamics of love. We'll talk about the pain of love. We'll also talk about, I've forgotten whatever other topic there is, but there will be enough to cover the entire period of time. Today, I simply wanted to ask you, what is love? And I wanted simply to put out there that the love we will be talking about is the love which has its source in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is love. And that it is this agape love we'll have. But it doesn't stand alone. Where there is true agape principle love, alongside with it, there is a certain fondness, endearment. That is why sometimes in the Bible, philos, you know, brotherly love, is often used interchangeably with agape. Though eros is not used, there is a certain charm, there is a certain magic, there is a certain mysticness about true love. When the song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look fully into His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. There is something about the Lord Jesus Christ that when you get to see it, something happens to you. And tomorrow we are going to begin. You are going to discover Him to be altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. And the Bible calls Him our beloved. He is our friend. And you are going to discover a lot of things. That will be the scope of our study this week. I think it's hot here, so I try to close about 15 minutes earlier. Any questions? Today is simply the introduction. Yes?
So what you're really saying about agape love is really the foundation.
It is the foundation of true love. Absolutely. And we are going to study, how do you experience this love? How do you get to know the Lord? You are talking about that too. Any other questions? I want to also mention, I give another workshop every morning at 9:30 in the chapel across the road for the young adults. It's young adults. It is not listed in the bulletin. I give a workshop titled, Baffling Bubbles About the Bible. Our theme for the entire camp meeting is the enduring word, the word of God endures forever. But there are people who are attacking the word of God, and I'm going to share how you can find your way through the maze about the attacks on the Bible, very subtle and not so subtle. We're going to talk about the missing Bible books, Apocrypha, the Gnostic Gospel, the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, and all of those interesting things you are hearing about, how Satan is using it. And tomorrow's topic is a very important one, how the critics are confusing you. There is a critic near you and you never knew it. If you have the time, tomorrow morning at 9:30 in the chapel across the road, I would invite you to be there. We have other workshops at 2 o'clock every day. Pastor David Ashrick has a workshop on the book of Psalms. And then about this time, there is another workshop by Pastor Mickey Mallory, How to Discover God's Will for Your Life. We hope that each of these workshops will be helpful to you. So just pass on the word. Yes, please.
Is it going to be taped? What do you do in the morning?
Yes, they are all being taped, yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, any other questions? Yes, sir. No, you cannot start from here and grow into this. Every true love must have its source here. There are people who have agape love and they don't know God. Not because, let me say it differently. Anyone who shows true love anywhere, whether pagan or non-pagan, they are reflecting agape love even though they may not know it. See, God is love. Jesus is love. He is the light that enlightens every man who is coming into this world. So wherever there is true manifestation of love, it is the agape love, though they may not know it. There cannot be true love which is not rooted in agape love. Anything less than this is not the real thing. Yes. Yeah.
Sure. And then after the friendship develops, it could turn into
Okay. We are talking about two different things. For example, eros is that which attracts you, the sudden rush of emotions that make you get drawn, somewhere. All I'm saying is, yes, we do have it. But even in agape, it is also there. And we should build our love here and not here. This is definitely there. If it stays at this level, before long you become cynical about so-called love. True love has its origin and source here. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us together. We have just begun a process. Any journey. We know not where it will lead us, but we trust that by the close of this week, your Spirit will speak to us, that we'll have a better understanding, a greater appreciation, but more than these, we shall experience true love. Be our teacher in the coming days as we open the Bible to study. Speak to our hearts. Even as we study the book Song of Songs for tomorrow, Lord, open our hearts and minds to understand. And may we begin to swell in our affection to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask in his worthy name. Amen.